Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse alongside Grant Pills and Paul Immig. It's great to see you guys. Our weekly edition of the show. You can get it on all your podcast platforms and the Dan Shady YouTube stream. I'm getting self-conscious when I'm like talking about, I open my show and I'll be like, hey, you can get us. And then I'm thinking, you're getting us right now. If you're listening, like, this isn't a billboard. Wow. So I'm like, oh, if it doesn't ever work out for you, here's where else we are. But yeah, same with this. We do have this on video, or if you're on video, we have it on audio. I am aiming to do the annual schedule release, win loss, the Packers schedule episode with Ryan Horvath.
It's got to be Ewan Horvey.
Yeah, so we're going to try to find a time to do that as the slow drip continues. You know, we all love that. I need to first complain about something that happened on my show on Tuesday, which I feel like I'm wrong about.
Oh.
What I'm going to complain about, I'm wrong about.
Wow.
I shouldn't have this complaint, but I do. So, short story long, I hate people that say no mo may.
We've done this, you and me, or maybe you, me, and Grant. I don't remember.
Rest in piss, bees.
Rest in piss, bees.
Yeah, that's right. You did, yeah.
Well, this year, I hate people that say that because I think they're just being lazy. Like, I don't want to get it out for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't think people are being genuine to the bees, which means a lot to me, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So then this year I went to mow my lawn, and my mower won't start.
So you put out a no mow May sign.
Yeah. So I jacked one from my neighbor down the street because people put signs in their lawn.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just a thing. It's, hey, here's the reason. I'm just so you know. You're going to look at my lawn and judge me. Just so you know, my little parcel of Shorewood grass, by not mowing this very small patch of turf, is going to keep the bee population thriving.
Do you know what it's like to maintain a sixth of an acre?
Yeah. It's very hard. So then I put on Facebook that picture of rest in piss bees. And I said, this was from last year. This year, my mower won't start. The bees are fighting back or something.
Okay.
And so I brought it up with fellow homeowner, Marco Belletti. And he's like, no, my grass is too long. It would take me a day. I give some kid $40. He mows my grass.
Okay.
He's like, I don't know how to touch any of this stuff. I go, fair enough. I just, you know, I'm in this war with the bees. And then, as I was talking about the Cavaliers next year and the Pacers and MLB and NHL, well, once I started to say my lawnmower didn't work, the phone lines light up.
Oh.
Like the 4th of July.
Engagement radio.
People are calling. They want to get on air with their suggestion. People are leaving me messages on whatever platform they can find. People are calling Carlos. I don't want to be on air, but here's what I want you to tell Bart to do. And in one way, I brought it up, like, maybe sort of fishing for help. Like, what should I do? Like, so I did bring it up in that way because I asked on air. I could have texted Marco and said, hey, do you know how to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
But I asked on air. But then the flood of people trying to help, it made me feel like a damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes, and I equate this to when I would be on a golf course, especially growing up. Like if I'm out there, it was without fail, the amount of times where I would be on a golf course or hitting practice shots and somebody would look at me and get all chubbed up that they could come help this young man with their practice tips that they learned in Golf Digest, which barely even helped them. But, and it just, it felt like that. It feels very, I don't want, like, invasive, maybe? Not emasculated. I mean, I asked, and it's okay to ask for help. It just feels like I was getting a lot of unwanted. I don't like it. And I know that I'm wrong because I put it out there. But the amount, like, it just feels like there's just these people in the world that are, like, waiting to help you. Which should be good.
They're those monsters.
But the way they come, it's like, it's not, they're not doing it for me. They're doing it for some, like they're not helping the baby bird fly again. They're doing it. They have some sick fetish where they love helping baby birds.
So this is what Larry David once termed, like, the pickle jar phenomenon or whatever. Everyone's got to come and help. Let me take a crack at that. I think I can loosen it, you know, and everyone's got their little, I kind of do it this way. I kind of rotate it. You gotta really kind of, like, you know, it's one of those things that I feel like the stereotypical male lives for this. Let me show
older gentlemen,
sure, definitely,
who, like, have maybe gone through fatherhood and their kids are now gone or, like, not living with, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And they're like, oh, this is a chance for me to use my muscle memory again. Or I wish my kid would have asked me to fix a lawnmower. So now I can help this guy. It just makes me feel like a 15-year-old kid again on the golf course where I felt my most vulnerable in my life.
You feel used, like other people are using you in this situation. Okay.
I do. And I don't. I shouldn't say that my feelings are invalid. These are my feelings. But a lot of people would say, just take the help, you stupid idiot.
Now, here's the bigger question, though. I've not heard it yet. Did you, like, demean those who tried to help? Were you like, hey, bastards, like, back off? I don't really.
No, but I did slip into, like, okay, this is a little unprofessional later on. And this goes to our greater conversations about, you know, social media and how I've been using it.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring Twitter, there is a different cut on Twitter. It's a different thing. So somebody tweets me about my Facebook picture. He sees my Facebook picture, which I described to you, comes back to Twitter, say, how stupid do you think we're supposed to think you are? We clearly see you mowed a fresh strip of grass. Your lawnmower's not broken. And I'm like, fucking read where it says this was from last May.
Mm-mm.
And so then I'm screaming at this guy over the radio, which is so unprofessional.
Okay, what hour? I need this content.
It was during our caller fold. It was hour 3.
Okay.
It's so unprofessional. I know it is. I think you can hear me know that. But I'm already swimming in the river full of shit. Now I have to pretend like it's a healthy river to swim in. I'm already that deep in this river.
Mm-hmm.
It's very healthy. So I'm already that deep.
Well, so anything else you want to get off your chest?
It sounds like good radio, if that helps.
Anything else I want to get off my chest? Just this t-shirt.
Now that's how you promote a YouTube stream.
Don't see my nips.
Ugh.
I bought this t-shirt for $2 at Mosier's in Red Granite in 2004.
What is a Mosier's?
It's like a discount thrift shop.
Bart, one thing I did hear you say the other night on the national airwaves was, you did the thing which is really important to do. Like, you're explaining why it feels conspiratorial about the NBA draft. You're going through it. And then you said, all right, let me just, if I was going to die, if I got this wrong, it's rigged or it's not rigged. And of course you gave the correct answer, I think, like, that it's not, like, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's bonkers. The possibility of this is beyond improbable. However, if this was these were the circumstances to get it wrong, it's not rigged, okay? And then the next guy called in, he's like, hey, same situation, I think it's rigged. One of us is going to die.
Yeah, one of us is fucked.
I do want to, this must exist. I was, can I describe this as playing a game? I was playing a game with a buddy that was kind of built off of the NBA draft conspiracy theory. And like, how quickly would your conspiracy theory bingo card fill up? Like, how many, like, oh, like one of the fun examples was like, Bret Hart knew he was going to get screwed that night in this Montreal screw job. Wrestling reference, Grant.
But I think with the draft is they do put, I mean, there's a lot that they have to, and it came down to a coin flip between Dallas and Chicago. And like, although if Cooper Flagg's going to Chicago and they're back on NBC and now you're giving Chicago, like we would have thought conspiracy there as well.
And it is. So like, do you hear the Zach Lowe thing where he described as soon as the ping pong balls came up, like double digit number first, 12, then it was 11. And then, like, they knew, got to a certain point where the next number meant, Zach Lowe said, if it was number 6, it was Dallas. If it was number 7, it was
Washington?
Something like, no, it wasn't Washington. Washington knew they were out. I forget, but it was.
But the odds of that top 3 were like 0.015%.
Crazy. But then Zach Lowe's commentary was like, the people in the room were like, oh shit, it's one of us. Like, because so, I mean, my point being, as these ping pong balls with random numerical combinations are, it would be like Tim Donaghy proved you can rig a basketball game or games, you know, as an NBA.
Yeah, the NBA draft lottery has more like, it's tougher to rig than we don't want the Kings in the NBA finals.
Sure, we're like,
we don't want the Bucks.
Well, and by the way,
I'm much more prone to think that there was some shenanigans there.
Totally. And it's also different than like the Patrick Ewing draft, because I saw, have you guys seen the video of it, where it's literally like the frozen envelope theory is just that. It's like there are 14 or whatever.
That one was rigged. That one was rigged.
There's no combination of balls where you're like, okay, if this one comes here, it's like one of them had one of them had that one. So you can't say, I'm going to hit you with something you've never said before. Both things can be true.
At the same time?
No, for real. Like, both things can be true at the same time. The current lottery system cannot be rigged. However, there have been instances in the past in which...
The guy goes, remember that Nate Jones guy? He's like, if you think it's rigged, you think that Ernst & Young... And everyone's like, they've been sued before.
Yeah. Well, let's stay on these lines for a second for my first because I do want to get to a Packers one, actually. And I do think we should revisit Giannis. It should almost be a weekly occurrence. But, of course, Nico Harrison did not know. Again, if I had to choose in one way, you know, in one way I did.
But I think my time traveler theory looks pretty good.
It's very good. It's one of the only...
Dr. Stranged it.
I love it. And it's regardless of the truth of it, it's a great, fun concept for public consumption. But now here's my actual question for you. Who would you rather have on your team? Luka Doncic or Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, the 2029 first, and I'll also throw in Max Christie because he's a fine piece. So you want Luka, Flagg, AD, Christie, and the 2029 Lakers first. You would rather have what the Mavs now actually do have, which is Flagg, AD, Christie, and the 2029 first. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm, that you would rather that package led by AD and Flagg, whoever wants to go first.
I think the person wearing the Desmond Howard shirt should go first.
I wish Luka hadn't taken his team to the finals last year, because if he hadn't, this would be such an easy answer. I'd take Cooper Flagg, and because Luka's kind of fat and he's, Cowherd would say, Westbrook with a jump shot. Like, we've watched the Celtics now kind of go down and their offense get stagnant, even when Tatum's cooking.
Yeah,
it doesn't really get everyone else going, mm-hmm. which isn't completely Tatum's fault. But like, sometimes it's tough when one guy's doing everything and the one guy who's doing everything, Luka, is fat and he doesn't play defense, but he's just his team to the finals. I mean, so it's how do you justify that? How do you say I would rather have the kid and the other things over the great player who just took his team to the finals? So for me, this would be such a slam dunk if he had like gotten bounced in the second round in a tough seven-game series, even last year. You know what I mean? Like,
I have a hard time with them seeing Luka not get a finals victory once, get him there, but not get it once, that they think, oh, that means he'll never do it. And you're right. He did get him there.
The only I want to just add to that. So I think, Grant, you're suggesting that your answer would be, would you rather have Cooper Flagg, AD, Christie, 29, because you'd rather have Luka. Am I correct?
I still think I would rather take – I think I'd rather have what they have now. So I would rather have Cooper Flagg. But the thing is, this would be such a slam dunk. Like, I'd be so emphatic about it.
Oh, sure.
But the finals appearance, like, that's pretty cut and dry. That's really difficult to ignore, to minimize. You know what I mean?
I do. And so my only two things I'll say that before I kick it over to Bart is I did recently see Luka Doncic rookie year footage. I mean, he's like 40 pounds heavier now. I mean, he is. Like, it was one of those things that I saw. I went into it with no, you know, prior consent. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, it was an alarming visual. Like, and that was only 7-8 years ago. So I can understand, again, Nico Harrison, I can't believe he got built out to this degree from a terrible decision. And it still doesn't excuse the horrible package he got back. However, it still doesn't mean that his absolute determination that.
Yeah, imagine if he got more back, like he should have.
Yeah, like imagine if he just would have done it in the offseason the right way and gotten what everyone thinks the Bucks can get for Giannis. Then this looks different, right?
Well, yes, but again, if Luka had stayed, then AD doesn't go there, and then AD, not a Mav, doesn't tear his or whatever his injury was and miss all those games as a Mav, then the Mavs probably make the playoffs at the very least, don't get Cooper Flagg because they're not in the lottery.
I feel like making the play-in tournament should eliminate you from winning the draft lottery.
I agree.
Yeah, I've not heard that said or thought it, but that is an interesting.
I'm bring that up. Good job, Grant. You can do that too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Grant, you're going with the Flagg AD package over Luka. So am I.
I think so.
So am I.
I think I'd rather start with I don't know. Luka's been not like he's not got another 10 years, but give me the kid who I can. He's ours. He's mine. He'll have his career here.
By the way, if you wanted to pivot now as the Mavs, hard pivot from your previous hard pivot, you could get stuff for Anthony Davis this offseason. And you're like, oh, like, let's go build this 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old team around Cooper Flagg, as opposed to having maybe varsity JV Warriors-style composition where you've got, like,
two timelines,
yeah.
And this offseason, there is a plethora, an abundance even, of young teams with a great core who are going to need a big stick.
Nico trades AD. That's his guy.
He won't. I mean, he won't.
You seen that video of it was going around. Kobe was telling AD about, hey, keep the unibrow. Don't put glasses over the unibrow. Nico Harrison's right between them.
Oh, I did not actually notice that part of it.
Yeah. The Team USA or what was that?
Yeah. There's a guy just sitting behind there because he's in Nike or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's Nico Harrison.
By the way, this is such good national radio fodder, but I sent you guys the job opening for the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to bring that up.
That's fun. That's fun two-minute fodder that they're hiring a new head strength and conditioning coach.
Well, it could be me. I lost 40 pounds in 2 years.
There you go.
For that much money, it's going to be someone like you. what was the job listing? Like 200-something?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, by the way.
Yeah, if I'm a strength and condition, if you're like, hey, get this guy who makes $50 million to be healthy. I'm like, I need a little more than $200K.
Yeah, one of them's Luka, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that's your job for that.
Although, what I've noticed, do you notice this with when I try to lose weight, Paul? Like, so I sometimes I'll have a bad night of eating or drinking or whatever, just bad in terms of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I'm like, wow, I weigh less than I thought I would.
Because
it shows up the next day.
It's very annoying. It hurts in the opposite direction. We're like, I just had a great day yesterday. I can't wait to step on this scale. Fuck!
I had a great day last night. Early dinner. Intermittent fast. Wake up. Eat at noon. Step on the scale before lunch. So morning weight.
Yep.
And the scale's like, it just said LOL. That's lame. I'm sorry.
No, I actually kind of like it, actually.
Nah, it's fucking stupid.
Bart, you'd rather have Flagg AD then you'd rather have Luka. Mm-hmm. Or mm.
Yeah, I would. And if anyone's like, wait, he lost 40 pounds and he still looks like that. I'm not done. I got a little ways to go.
Yeah, good
for you. I could lose another 20.
Let me ask you this, Bucks fans.
See? Nah, I already showed skin once.
We've done all the other scenarios, and we will certainly revisit them depending on where this Giannis storyline does or doesn't go. Sounds like the Eric Names and the Jim Mozarskis and the Patrick Beverleys of the world all think that Giannis is not going anywhere.
Jim O's throwing it around on Blue Sky, by the way. I don't often check in over there, but the other day I was like, holy shit, Jim. Like, he's like, saying it with his chest.
Trust your local beat guys was his message, essentially. Like, we know.
He Tom Silverstein does. He's like, when there's something to know, I'll pass it along. You know, like that kind of thing.
Quite good. I wonder if he like consulted him prior. He's like, well, how do you do this? He's like, Tom's like,
well, do you think, and not to step on wherever you're going, but now Tatum's also hurt.
It's crazy.
So there's two teams next year that would typically be in the running to win the East or be competitive. And, you know, if Giannis comes back, what you're going to hope for a six seed kind of situation. Yeah. But the Celtics, I don't know, they can still be a top four team.
But
the East is bad. These stars get traded to the West.
Yep.
The West is the team winning these draft lotteries that we always think are rigged.
Yep.
And now they're getting Cooper Flagg.
Well, and again, the Celtics, even before this all happened, the report, and it just makes sense financially, they were not going to bring this team back next year. I think like the tax.
Probably team, like a Porzingis or a Drew.
Sure. But at now,
they're going to strip this thing like pretty severely even before Tatum's injury.
So let's Bart even say that it is what you're saying. Let's say it's Porzingis and Derek White. I don't know, right? Or Porzingis and Drew.
Well, they need White. White's Tatum insurance, because every time Tatum sucks, White has a 30-point game.
But now you don't have Tatum, and let's just say for the sake of the argument, you trade Porzingis and Drew. So now you have Jaylen Brown and Derek White, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard. Like, is
your
that
boy Shireman?
Is that better than a 5 seed? I don't think it is.
Well, look who else is in the East.
That's part of
the Magic like figure it out.
I mean, they can't shoot.
The Heat are going to go backwards.
Yep.
The Hawks are
nothing.
The Hawks are the Arizona Cardinals, and Trae Young is Kyler Murray.
That's a great analogy.
Thank you.
So my question is for you is that we just answered like the Luka thing with versus AD and Cooper Flagg. If the Mavs, who reported first off, Giannis just asked Jim O, is not going anywhere. But if Giannis changed his mind and we found out otherwise, and he says, I'm going to get traded. And then Nico's like, hey, I heard Giannis is going to get traded. Cooper, like, again, the math doesn't work. We're just playing a stupid high. You could throw in some salaries. I made it work. I did a trade machine thing the other night, if you're curious. But you have 30-year-old Giannis, and Nico calls and says, hey, like, we'll figure out the other salary. But essentially, it's Cooper Flagg for Giannis. I know Giannis just asked you for a trade. I'm going to beat whatever the Rockets can give you. I'm going to beat whatever the Spurs can give you. The package, for all intents and purposes, John Horst, me, Nico Harrison, is calling you and saying it's Flagg for Giannis. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm, John Horst should say mm-hmm.
I think you should say mm-mm.
Wow.
I am fully in the I'd rather forever a six seed. I would rather, because I don't think it's going to work. Giannis is what Giannis is now and still will be for multiple years. I don't think Cooper Flagg's ever reaching that.
See, but I don't think that's the question, but okay, go ahead.
So I would rather find a way, and you know, Names thing about a gap year,
mm-hmm.
Kobe and these other guys,
which has been said countless times now of the Celtics, right? Like, I had never thought of the concept of a gap year in the NBA. It was mentioned once with the Bucks, and now everyone's a Celtic. Well, the Celtics.
And, if I'm Eric Name, I'm pissed that people are taking my thing and not giving me credit.
Yeah.
No, you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't believe it.
Somebody actually called the other day and was like, hey, Bart, this is like your thing about you, how you said Nico Harrison's a time traveler. And I'm like, just that little bit of acknowledgement groined me up so fucking hard. Just to have someone acknowledge something I say. That's
good. To be clear about my question, though, I said Giannis has asked for a trade, and Nico calls and makes the call.
Yeah, but I don't think Giannis is going to ask for a trade.
Well, then
I think Giannis is going to ask for a trade in the same way Devontae Adams asked for a trade. His heart's not in it.
He's not, the heart's not into the trade request.
Yeah. And there was a report from that Scoop B guy.
Yep.
He's like, Giannis would prefer to stay in the East. You know, maybe Nets and Raptors. Oh, that's interesting. You know who else is in the East? The fucking Milwaukee Bucks. I think he would want to stay in the East because I'm with you. And I'm going to bang the swimming. I'll bang it every time I can.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sits there at swimming.
Mostly unbothered.
Where my child and another child are coloring. They're sitting with him. And even me and this other guy don't go and like fawn over. Like the respect that they get and the privacy. Like, yeah, oh, it's Giannis. I get it. You're going to do that. This is the city that, I don't know. Really? I don't know, man. He can leave Milwaukee, whatever, but he's going to be right back doing the same shit that Grant and I do, where we would die tonight just to be in Dells for 4 hours right now in lacrosse.
Yeah, I would. You notice how all of the former players who have come out on all the shows and podcasts to talk about Giannis's situation are all like, don't do it, Giannis. Mm-hmm. Like Dwight mm-hmm. Howard and Melo, yeah. And there's others. But it just seems like there's a lot of former NBA players. And this is, we romanticize the past, as Bart just kind of hinted at. But like, I think there's a lot of former NBA players who look back and say, I had it so good in this spot. Or I miss what it was when I was there. And I left to chase this or to chase that. And then that kind of just sent me down this path of looking for something I didn't even know what I was looking for. Right. And if there's a slam dunk spot that Giannis loves where he feels like he can win, without a doubt, win at a higher level than in Milwaukee, and it's a city that he likes, with teammates that he likes, a market that he likes, maybe. But I just think like so many of these other options are like, okay, you might end up in a marginally better situation, but you're going to end up in a place you don't like as much. And I think that's why all these former players are coming out. It's like, hey, I know it sounds appealing, man, but don't do it. Like, you got a great thing going. Just have that be your thing.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I'm going to ask you one more, and then I hope you guys will keep chatting. I apologize for this being a short one for me. I know it's kind of been discussed at local sports levels a little bit, but I'd have to kind of hear your thoughts on this. Enzo Amore would describe the Packers wide receiver room as S-A-W-F-T, soft.
Is that a wrestler?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, the Packers wide receiver room is pretty soft. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, Grant's mixing it up with Watson's dad.
That's awesome. Way to
go. He blocked me, and I'm so sad because every time I would reply to him, he'd blow up and look like an ass, and then people would like my tweet and follow me. Like, it was just a guaranteed, like, 8 to 10 followers, some good engagement.
What did you tell him yesterday? What did you tell him yesterday?
Mr.
Well, first of all, I like addressing him by his full name.
Great.
Like, Mr. Wajid Wajed, because it's fucking funny. I don't know why. It's like, I think I said, do you ever, like, think about putting your phone down and just going on a walk. And he blew up.
He went to the parents' basement thing and then...
Yeah. Dude, I wish I worked out of my parents' basement. That's the fucking dream. You know how much money I'd... money I would save? I don't think that the Packers wide receiver room is soft. It's something that I stumbled onto. Bart, are you ever wandering through the wilderness of your show and out of nowhere, you stumble onto something and you're like, yes.
I had one this week. I've already forgotten what it was, but I did have one where like you feel like out of body where you're looking at yourself and yourself is giving you like a, you fucking did it, man.
There it is.
You fucking did it. I'm so proud of you.
And the universe just kind of lines up for you. So the Jaden Reed thing and then Elton Jenkins, right? Kind of and this week on the show, been playing coordinator audio because Stenovich and Halfley and Bisacci and everyone spoke and Goody spoke not that long ago. And there's just so much commentary from all the Packers officials about like, we want competition. Yeah, we want the, and then the beat's like, what about Rashid Walker? And Stenovich is like, yeah, fuck yeah. We want him to work for his job. Like we don't owe him shit. Like they're just up there. Like we want all of these guys fighting. And I just feel like they've been so brash and obvious about how they're constantly trying to replace everyone or upgrade every spot. And they should try to replace everyone and upgrade every spot because that's how you should build a team. But you don't need to yell it in their face. And the analogy I used was Breaking Bad. When it was clear that Gus wanted to get rid of Walt and stick Gabe in his place. And what'd they do? They shot him in the head. You know what I mean? Like you can try to replace these guys with someone better and cheaper, but just be a little more sneaky about it. And like Elton Jenkins sees the writing on the wall loud and clear. Like, no matter how sneaky you could be, he's got no guaranteed money left. But with Reed, it's or like Rashid Walker, some of these other players, like, could you just lie or just don't tell the truth? You don't have to lie. Just don't loudly tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the receiver core was very, or at least the fans were, like, the way I was feeling last year was, and Jordan Love said something too. Why do we need a number one receiver? They're all number ones. Now it feels like these guys are dying to have their roles be defined.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm not the number one, well, where am I? I mean, you just drafted two receivers in the top first three rounds.
Well, I actually
see of me?
In training camp of last year, I really liked what Jordan Love said. However, the season concluded with none of them stepping up to the level that you would say, that's the guy.
Jaden Reed's not our number one receiver.
No, it's not, I don't care how that gets spun by Drew Rosenhaus to Adam Schefter.
Who is it? It's Golden.
By default, because no one else has done that yet.
They all had a chance. Dobbs quit for a week.
Yep.
Dontavian Wicks.
I still like Wicks and Reed a lot, but they dropped the ball.
I do too. But again, they had this chance with a wide receiver room that was asking, begging someone to do it, and none of them did. So you draft a first round wide receiver.
Man, Christian Watson dropping that pass in Minnesota, the ramifications of that, I'm telling you, because he's the bona fide number one. He probably never gets hurt. Rodgers is probably still here.
Healthy mind, healthy body, less stress about the drop. Doesn't lead to this.
Dad doesn't feel like he needs to get all active on social media.
I like that.
I just couldn't imagine. Like, if my son was in the NFL at that position, I barely stand up for myself anymore. I don't want to ruin his life. Like, my mom once threw something on the WSSP Facebook page back in 2016, and someone's like, oh my God, is this Bart's fucking mom defending him? I'm like, Mom. And she's like, oh, okay, I get it.
It's like Jason Tatum's mom outside the X-ray room talking shit about the Magic a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. It's the parental instinct.
Yeah, you would know. Don't you two speak to that? Don't you feel that inside you?
You couldn't do it publicly in that. You just kind of can't. You're making it worse.
Like, who do they? Oh,
I agree.
Who they? When they kept showing Gary Trent Sr. in that game, that Junior was having a big day, and he's just like stone cold locked in, watching his son. Like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
You know, I don't mind the parents, but I like when they show the parents and they're like, they're just like, you know,
normal.
Yeah. You know what I don't like is with all due, when a Brewer has his first game.
Oh, and no.
Like 12 people are there from the family.
Come on.
Oh, you're going to do the whole, like, you don't like the Sophia Minner interview in the crowd thing?
What I don't like about it is that is a very unique and glorious moment that I think the family and the players, they all get detached from. Like, in the same way where the first time I ever shot football game to be on WKBT, I stopped the party we were at so everyone could look at the touchdown I shot of DeSoto scoring a 1 yard rush from a shitty fucking angle.
Was it an end around to the pylon?
It's just a gut.
Yeah.
You could barely see the guy cross.
Can barely see the goal line.
But I'm like, wow, I've made it. And here I am on national radio between hours 3 and 4, right as I'm about to start. And I'm thinking, I tell Carlos the amount of money I would pay to not have to do this fucking 60 minutes.
Hey, one more thing, then I'm going to run.
You lose that.
You guys, hope, again, keep talking. Hope.
Yes, sir. I just have one Brewers thing for granted.
Are either of you Harry Potter people?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see that Tom Riddle has committed to the Badgers?
Yeah, rules.
I would very much, and I mean this very, I told this to my wife. Here's what I would do. Tom Riddle is, spoiler alert, earmuffs. Tom Riddle was Voldemort's name when he was a child at Hogwarts. I would absolutely, as the announcer, 100%, I'm not bluffing. This is what I would do. I would the whole season say, only refer to him as you know who, until someone said, is he doing like a thing because he's not allowed to say Voldemort's name and he's Tom Riddle? And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about how quickly until someone would be like, I know what you're doing. Don't do that.
I feel like Harry Potter's pretty. Bart, have you not seen it?
Is it Marvel?
I didn't know that. I mean, I know what a Voldemort is.
I think he's trolling.
No, I'm not. Harry, I got nothing on Harry.
He's not part of the MCU, Grant. He has no idea.
Oh, God. Harry Potter was the original MCU.
Oh, non-MCU, dude. Superman looks fucking good.
Looks awesome.
That trailer is good. Then the Ironheart trailer came out. I'm like, oh, God.
All right, that's my Tom Riddle bit for the day.
I appreciate that, Paul.
But I would absolutely
do it. I'll talk about Tom Hiddleston.
He's great, too. All right. Bye, guys.
Goodbye, Paul. The boy who lived. You've really never... Well, okay. That's not that big of a deal. It's been out a while.
I do have one Brewers thing to bring up to you.
Sure.
But I would first like to remind people about our savings at happyplacehemp.com, where the promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. That seltzer business is booming. Booming. And I see them, you know, there's, you can buy stuff at the stores now. It's like, okay. But do you get 25% off?
I know.
No.
I go to Sendix. I do not get 25% off.
You could go out to the counter and say, hey, give me 25% off this promo code BART. And they'll say, that greasy fuck? I'm not going to help you out there. HappyPlaceHemp.com, Will. Promo code is BART. You could stop in. When you stop in, they are very good about answering questions. And I have seen a sample pack or two go with a person. I'm not saying, but I am saying. And those are good to try. And then you can always go back. The code's good forever. HappyPlaceHemp.com. We thank them for their continued support of the podcast. And of course, not only am I a member, I'm also the president. HappyPlaceHemp.com. I see a lot of people, you tweeted it like game two about this is the least fun Brewers team of your life. They did win today against the Guardians 9-5.
They did.
So they are now, what, 20-23? 21-23?
20-23. Rhys Hoskins, 5 RBIs, powered the way for the crew.
Do you still think they're not fun?
Yeah, they add so much anger into my life. And the significant others, the women of all of the Brewers fans in my Brewers group chat should be lucky that this team sucks the way that it does, because it gives us an outlet to absolutely unload. So then I don't have to, you know, bring that frustration home with me. Yeah, they're awful. Yelich can't do anything. Contreras actually had a fine day today, but he hasn't been able to do anything. He's playing through a broken finger, which would be one thing if he's playing well. Cheerios, you know, kind of sophomore slumping. And Caleb Durbin might be my least favorite Brewer. I try not to be personal, but this team is making it personal. That's how much I don't like them. Caleb Durbin is like the offensive profile of Sal Frelick, which is not great, but also a complete and total shit defender. So I still think it's funny. Like, this team will bleed runs in the field and I'll see the tweets. It's like uncharacteristically sloppy from the Brewers. It's like, this is a team you guys built. No one made you. People want to yell about Marc Atanasio. Nobody put a gun to Matt Arnold's head and said, trade Devin Williams and get Nestor Cortes and Caleb Durbin back. Like, no one made him do that.
How many closed door meetings have they had?
Two. And hold on, I can get you the exact answer. I was reading Andrew Wagner's story. And Adam McAlvey's story. I don't pick favorites. Meeting. The second team meeting in a 3-week stretch. I know they had one before this last 3-week stretch, but 2 in 3 weeks.
So I saw someone say, like, yeah, typically teams that do this, they don't really turn it around.
I mean, I can give you a lot of stats because the thing is, it's so early. I was listening to another evening drive show in the state of Wisconsin. They were talking about the Brewers. And their chorus over the last 2 weeks has been, we don't even know what they are yet.
Like, is it a show that we like or don't like?
how many shows do I listen to, Bart?
Are they on the same battlefield as me?
No, not even close. And it's like, we don't even know, Brewers fans, just sit back and wait and see. It's like, you don't wait and see with the team this bad when you figure the blowouts and the run differential and the losing streak and the shutouts. Like, teams that profile like this, albeit through the first 2 months of the season, don't turn it around. The closed door meeting is more anecdotal evidence, but yeah, teams that often throw closed door meetings in the clubhouse multiple times over a 2 or 3 week stretch, like, yeah, that's, it's typically not a sign of things to come. I've been letting Yelich have it on my show. Not that that means anything, but in my little 2 hour time window, like the other day, I'm like, Yelich, you don't get to, here's what you don't get to do, Bart. And you talked about Rodgers at the end on your daily show. How often did we hear this? Who's rallying the troops? Who's firing people up? And then people would defend Rodgers and say, well, he's not that kind of guy. He's not a rah-rah guy. And I think most would say the same of Yelich. So it's like, well, then find a different way to do it. Because just like being a wallflower in your locker.
You don't have to be a rah-rah guy. Like,
you have to be some type of guy.
Mike Daniels tried to be a rah-rah guy, and he looked like an idiot.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a rah-rah guy. You can just go up to someone before the game and be like, hey, lock the fuck in today. Let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. You don't need to, like, get in front of the clubhouse and say, we're the Brewers. Give me a B. Give me an R. You don't need to be in the clubhouse waving the towel.
No.
Oh, we miss Willy Adames. Yeah. If Willy Adames not being here has made everyone from baseball is fun to baseball is sad, that's not a Willy Adames issue.
Correct.
That's something else. Now, are we going to see manager Ricky Weeks more sooner than later?
Are you asking if they're going to fire Murph?
I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't want to see, you know, us hang on to Murphy too long, and then Ricky Weeks doesn't have a chance, and we say, "Oh, Biden." I mean, Murphy should have stepped down sooner. You know what the fuck? Let's write 20 books about it.
I was thinking, who's the Wisconsin version of George Clooney in this analogy? Gruber,
Charlie Behrens. Charlie Behrens saw Pat Murphy. Murphy didn't even recognize him.
I thought you were going more like the Jim Leonard route, where it's like, it's got to be him. Like, I don't think Weeks is anything special. Look, this team stinks, and the problem is, and this was a problem last year, and I kept bringing it up, and I bring it up on my show all the time. Like, people have this memory of last year's team that was all slapdick bunts and stolen bases and smoke and mirrors and Murphy ball. And they did some of that and it was fun, but you know what? They hit home runs. And I know people are like, I don't want launch angle and analytics, but like, you need some of that. Like, Adames had 35, Hoskins had 30, Yelich when he was healthy was hitting bombs. Contreras, before he broke his finger, and again, for some reason played through it, had a couple home runs, like performed like an MVP before he broke his finger and then played through it. Like, that happened last year, and they're not doing that right now. So people can't look at Pat Murphy like, just do the bunting thing. Like, they're trying, and that's why this is so fucking painful, is because, like, they can't get the ball out of the infield. And that's not on Murphy's fault. Like, look at this roster, dude. They called up Andrew Monasterio, and a majority of the fan base was like, finally. Like, that's where they are. That's where they are, man. That's not on Murphy.
Like the Packers bring back some guy, you're like, who was the one?
James Jones in 2015 is too good.
Yeah, he's too good. We're bringing back Tony Fisher. I don't remember.
Hillgate Tour participant, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Grant, always a pleasure.
No, the pleasure is mine, Bart. It's a pleasure to chat. Sometimes I wish I could contribute more when you and Paul talk about wrestling or your Marvel universe, but that's fine.
The MCU, yeah.
The MCU. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the time. Thank you, Bart. It was nice.
Well, you guys got your little Harry Potter thing in there. That was great.
That was so brief. Okay. And you pouted through the whole thing. You didn't, but
inside I was doing that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not in on this. This is not Bart driven.
Well, it is your podcast, so that's fine.
It's the Winkler.
Hey, also, it was requested that I ask you something. You don't need to do it on this pod, but someone needs to speak for whatever reason. The WSSP community has decided to go back and relitigate what happened with Milwaukee Pro Soccer, because I think it's been like a year since they've tweeted and people have questions. So if you can do a tell-all at some point, maybe a YouTube short, those things go loud. They're a pain in the ass to make, but they get a lot of views, but maybe that would serve your
best. I don't know if I'm on the payroll or not.
Well, it's probably symptomatic of whatever brought that thing down.
I did. I had the time card link saved and I couldn't get in the other day. So maybe.
Probably a pretty good sign. It's the 2025 version of your key fob not letting you into the building.
That's for somebody else to do the research. I don't know any more than anybody else.
Interesting. Okay, that's fine. I just doing my my duty to the group chat. This is fun. Thank you.
The contact there that I had is no longer there.
Sure.
Prior to whatever's going on now.
Sure.
Anyways, they were supposed to start play this fall.
Yeah.
I spent multiple days at Summerfest selling merch. Okay, I gotta go.
I do as well. This is fun. Thanks.
Thank you, Grant Bills and Paul Emig, and all of you for stopping into the Winklerverse.